Look, a business partnership is not easy. It's absolutely like a marriage. I've been very fortunate that I've had a very supportive wife. She was like, I got your back. Go do this. I know you're going to do it right. How do we take this smoothie and really make it healthy? We went to every juice bar. We're like, dude, this tastes pretty bomb, but it's sugar.
And this is not a 40-hour week job. This is 60, 80, 100-hour weeks because that's what you need to do to be a successful business owner. Despite everything that you got going on in your life, I haven't heard anything about making an excuse.
No one's coming to save you. Once you kind of realize that whatever excuse it is that you're saying, what is the purpose?
Thank you again for tuning in, everybody. This is going to be a really exciting episode. And, you know, the whole point of my show is to get people to take control of their fitness, their finances, and their mental health. And sometimes in order to do that, you got to see what the end result can be. I'm very happy to have on an entrepreneur, a local entrepreneur from San Francisco who has an establishment not too far away from where I live. So I'm excited to have Reza Morvari, who is an entrepreneur and the owner of Bold Acai based in San Francisco. Two locations and three acai trucks. You can find him all around the Bay Area. I will link up his Instagram where you can find him. But first of all, Reza, thank you for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you for having me.
One of the first questions I want to ask you is, the acai business, it's a very specific industry. How did you choose that?
Well, initially, the business idea was based really just around healthy eating. Acai was something I discovered as I started to kind of go down a little bit of the rabbit hole of healthy food. And one of the first things I discovered was like organic juices, superfood smoothies. I started making them at home. And as I started making them, all of a sudden I discovered this like really amazing super fruit, the acai berry. The beginning was really like making smoothies and juices at home and then starting to make them more and more and more, making them for friends, making them for family. And everyone's like, hey, these are pretty good. You know, like you should do something with this. So that was kind of, you know, people are like, why acai? I guess it was just the progression of like juices, smoothies, juice bar, and then realizing, oh, wow, this acai thing is starting to slowly blow up. It was really big in like San Diego, starting to get big in SoCal, in the Northern California area. It hadn't really blown up yet. There was maybe like one or two people on the scene. So I feel like we were kind of first to market, you know, maybe not necessarily first to market, but at least we made the most noise when we launched. But yeah, that's kind of where it came about.
Well, that's awesome, man. And I get the whole, you know, the acai thing, and I love it. And it gets your juices flowing, no pun intended.
Yeah.
but it's one thing to be passionate about something, and it's another thing to take that next step to say, this is something that I want to make a business of. So what made you decide to go into this business? And were you always an entrepreneurial mindset? Or was this your first endeavor to say, let's just go for it and see what happens?
So in regards to always, you know, having a bit of an entrepreneur mindset, I think that I have from a young age. I was kind of like, you know, the kid that maybe sold the most chocolate bars and, you know, took that money and, you know, was able to kind of like win the prize at school, but then maybe take that prize and sell it up for something else that I wanted more. So I've always been a little bit scrappy in that sense. But what kind of pushed it over the edge was I was fortunate to have people around me, specifically my wife, just kind of cheerleading and saying, listen, I think if you start a business, you're going to be successful at this. I was in sales for years before starting Bold Acai. You know, it was really just like the support of her and other people around me that are like, I think you can do this. Like, I feel like you have what it takes. Fortunate that a childhood friend of mine is my business partner. He has been instrumental in doing this project. And I think his support as well, like, hey, we got this, right, has played a huge role too. So yeah.
Now, did you come or did your business partner come from a business background, either schooling or they grew up in a family where they saw this thing happen? Or is this literally, hey, let's just figure this whole thing out together?
So we both went to school for marketing. Obviously, there have been entrepreneurs in my family. I don't think necessarily that's been super influential. Maybe I don't remember. And it's like, there's like core memories as like a 3-year-old that helped me get here. But no, I mean, this was us kind of believing in ourselves, rolling the dice, thinking we had something good here, doing a bunch of research around it, doing a bunch of recon, you know, going to 100 juice bars before we started, tasting as many flavors as we could. He went to Brazil. I went to Hawaii. We did like, you know, the acai, you know, gumball kind of like tour, like where we're like stopping at every, you know, I went to Hawaii with my wife and I'm like, all right, we're hitting every juice bar here. She's like, holy shit, we're on vacation. And like, you know, we're in this Jeep, like going to every single little acai place we could find just to taste the different flavors, see what fruit they're using, you know? And so, I think that kind of stuff was really, really, really what set us apart in coming out, was that we kind of, did a bunch of due diligence before we started. We really like looked everywhere we could. And I think that's like really important. Something I would suggest to any entrepreneur starting something new is do as much research as you can.
So when you guys did the whole research on, okay, we have an idea. We want to build this acai business. We're going around the world essentially to figure out where we can get, well, pretty much how other countries are doing it in areas that are probably more in that, what do you call it, the equator, the area where acai is more popular. Mm-hmm. Are you thinking about, do we want to do a juice stand, a shop, a truck? How are you guys taking that idea and saying, this is what our vision is to bring it to Northern California?
Sure. So initially we wanted to do a shop, and that kind of, that was like, the very first, like the nucleus was like, let's do a shop. That's what we want to do. And so we found a really cool shop. It was located in Lake Merritt, Oakland. It was right on the lake. It was adjacent to Gold's Gym. So it was right next to Gold's Gym. We thought it would be a great location next to a gym right by the lake. And unfortunately, you know, we kind of went through all the steps, and the landlord, who didn't live in the area, didn't understand what a juice bar was, said, hey, one of the guys that's also in the complex, this building, sells juice, and this is going to be, it goes against the non-compete. And the thing was, they were selling Snapple and like Nantucket nectar bottled, like, you know, kind of like convenience store. And we're like, no, dude, we want to make made to order juices with danky greens and kale and spinach and all this stuff. So he didn't get it. And like, I think he lived like somewhere in the Midwest, totally didn't understand the juice bar thing. This is a decade ago as well, you know.
Yeah.
You know, stuff has really like changed and blown up since then. But we got a little bit discouraged. And so we were like, dang, this beautiful shop, like this location, we were so set on it. But I think what we did was we quickly changed lanes. And we happened to go to like a food truck meetup. We went to like an off the grid meetup on like a Friday night at like Fort Mason. And we were like, dude, this is super cool. Look at all these trucks. Like there's a donut truck and there is like a Korean barbecue. There was like all these trucks, and it was really cool. So I kind of turned to my partner and was like, dude, what if we do a truck? That way we're not bound to really anything, like no lease, no landlord, very nimble, you know. And and we just quickly shifted to a food truck. We started fabricating a food truck. It took us like 8 months to build it, kicked our ass. You know, we had never done it before. We didn't know what it required. And we didn't go to like a food truck fabricator like we have now for like, we've built 6 food trucks in total. But like the first one was built by, we knew an electrical engineer, and then we knew like a master welder. And these guys are both like wizards. They're really good at what they do, but they're not food truck guys where like you take it to a one-stop shop place. They come in with like an architect. They like put together a 3D model on a flat screen. You go through what you want, like measure. Like these guys were like working with them every week, right? Which was really tough, right? Because they're like, they don't know anything about food or workflow. But that's how we did it, man. And we made it work. Like, dude, we totally made it work. Like we got a, it was like a 1988 Chevy box truck that looks like the San Francisco Chronicle, like news trucks. And we really built it out well. Like there was a lot of stuff and like vision that I had with it, like where the fabricators are like, dude, why do you want speakers all around it? Like a crazy sound system with boat marine speakers. And I was like, dude, trust me, just build this thing. But a lot of those things like later on paid off when we were going to festivals and like jamming tunes, you know?
We got to tell me about some of the stories about that first truck. It's first of anything that's going to have all these memories with us. So what are some of the experiences that you had with it? Did it break down on you? Did people say, what the heck is that?
Yeah. It was a pretty good truck, man. It did not really... I mean, we've gotten flat tires. We've had to be, like... The truck probably was towed, like, 4 or 5 times. But it ran pretty well. There were, initially when we started, there was a lot of electricity issues. And the reason was we didn't understand two commercial Vitamix blenders with a commercial juicer running all at the same time is going to draw a tremendous amount of power. And so we had to keep upgrading generators, and we're popping breakers and so many good stories out of that truck. Such a great experience. It's kind of really cool that you asked that question, because sometimes I forget, you build and build and build and it's the new thing, it's modern, but man, that truck was super cool, man. It was just we were so happy to be in this truck that we had built, finally doing our own thing, middle finger to the man, hey, we're going to go get this on our own, and do this thing ourselves. So it was cool. Crazy festivals, you name it, the San Francisco How Weird Festival and this and that. And there's people jumping onto the truck and partying, bear in mind, we built
they were jumping onto your truck.
Yeah, dude, we built a sound system on this truck that could be heard a block down the street, those Harley Davidsons are just super loud. Imagine 10 times the speakers is that on the outside. So it would draw people in, and we're playing Tribe Called Quest and old school hip hop, and people are always kind of jamming, and it was a good vibe. Lots of good memories, man. A lot of festivals, a lot of cool events that we did. It put us on the map, it was in the San Francisco Chronicle. They did a huge 2-page story on us. And then, which was in the food section, which was crazy, right? We're dude, we're two fucking schnooks with a food truck, and
put you in the food section.
It's French Laundry, and Thomas Keller was just on there last week. And then you got two guys with a food truck in there. And then, a little bit later, we were in the style section of the Chronicle for coolest truck, aesthetically, gunmetal gray with a red wood bar in the front and Edison bulbs and stuff like that. So, amazing memories with it, man. Amazing memories. We sold it, 2 years ago, that truck, to a man in Oregon, and he had 3 sons, and he wanted to learn them to learn about entrepreneurship. So he's like, I'm going to buy this truck. They're converting it to a similar, an ice cream smoothie type of business. But, they were stoked, and we were
that's got to be hard to let that first one go.
It was at the same time, it was cool, dude. I love this first, this Honda Civic has been bulletproof. Yeah. It's helped me out, but it's all right, I'm liking my new upgraded car that's smooth. And it gave us, we had it for 8 years, dude. We had it for 7.5, 8 years. So it's not only did it pay for itself, 100 times over, but it was also nice to see it go to a good family. And he's like, what are you going to do with this? He's like, I want my boys to do kind of almost create a little company, whether this is a summer thing for them or maybe it becomes a bigger thing. So how cool is that?
That's really awesome.
Dad buys their son, their boys, a food truck.
Yeah. It's rather than sell it to a junkyard or God knows where, it's going to someone who's going to take this and make it the best that they can be given all the memories that you've gotten from it.
Absolutely.
So what was the reception like when you first got on the scene and you're going to all these events and people are like, what's Sai, or is this an ice cream thing? What is it? Mm-hmm. What are people saying when they first saw you guys?
Everyone was just excited that there was a healthy food truck. All of the food trucks were super unhealthy. That was the thing. It was
I think they still are. Most of them.
Yeah, I mean, dude, it's it was just how over the top can your food get with, I've got a burrito with French fries and bacon and nacho cheese on top of the bacon. It was food bomb. How gut punch can we make this, right? And so people were what? There's a healthy option. like, this is kind of cool. Wait a second. And so that was the main thing. Like, people were so surprised that there was a healthy food truck. Like, check this out. It's not only healthy, but like the food comes out really fast. So, you know, I remember somebody's like, what's your mission statement? And we hadn't really like figured out our mission statement initially, like in a concrete, but it soon became easy access to healthy food. Like, what are you guys about? We're like, easy access to healthy food, quick, fast, healthy food. Like, you're on the go. Here's a green smoothie with protein in it, dude. 30 grams of protein. You got kale, you got spinach, you got mango, you got, oh, what about your mango? We're like, dude, it's just mango. What about this? It's just kale. What about this? We're like, no syrups, no sorbet, no crap. It's just the real, it's just like real shit, whole ingredients, right? So
what were they expecting? Like mango, like something that tastes like mango, but isn't really mango, processed. Like,
I think kind of peaches. That Jamba Juice, like the syrups,
okay.
You know, they were used to like the, you know, again, like that Jamba Juice, where if you go to Jamba Juice, you see them pumping those pumps, or like the Starbucks, they're filling your drink with Starbucks, a hazelnut, yeah. Like it's, yeah, like a goo, you know, where we're like, dude, it's literally frozen mango chunks, frozen pineapple chunks, a banana, almond milk.
And this was 10 years ago, right?
This was 10 years ago. And so
even back then they were like, I'm not used to just whole foods in my smoothie.
You know, it wasn't, so it depended. Like initially when we started, you know, our first food truck thing we did was in Walnut Creek. And so it was received really well. The clientele was already like, you know, it's not like people weren't eating healthy 10 years ago, but obviously like the juice bar scene since then has exponentially blown up, right? So like there were certain times where people were just kind of asking because they were used to, let's say, a Jamba Juice style, like, hey, this isn't that sweet. But as soon as they had it and realized, dude, not only is it not that sweet, but how do I feel? I'm not getting like some sugar crash from this. I feel really good. You need to see the same person again the next day, and then the next day, and then the next day. And the difference with what we had, then let's say the food trucks that are just serving, you know, again, that really, really unhealthy stuff, was like, I can see you four times a week, Mike, because you can have a green smoothie four times a week. And so, you know, after our first couple things in Walnut Creek, which we were there for about a couple months, we got called from an area in San Francisco called Mint Plaza. And somebody called us there. It was kind of the property manager. He said, hey, I found you guys on Google and you guys kind of look cool. What do you think about bringing your food truck here to Mint Plaza and serving a couple days a week? So we went there. It was across from the San Francisco Chronicle building. And around it at the time was just like, dude, I mean, you had Adroll, you had Eventbrite, you had Deloitte, you had, you know, people from Twitter. You had, I mean, dude, just so many startups around us and so many tech companies. And like, it was just a hit. It was a hit. People were like, you know, as soon as like somebody would have our food, they'd bring back a couple more people and more people and more people. And like, you know, it was this healthy food truck. It was like a good little place. And across from us was Blue Bottle Coffee, which I think was, you know, absolutely a huge advantage. People were going to get Blue Bottle and they were shooting over to us to get an acai bowl.
So, I mean, the way that you guys created everything, and I brought this up for a reason, is this one bowl you guys make and you call it These Nuts. I'm not sure where that came from, but yeah,
I can tell you.
I mean, the peanut butter, because, you know, I like the acai stuff, but I need more heft, especially if I get out of the gym and I'm walking down to your Polk Street area. It's like, yeah, I need some, a little more heft, a little more calories. So when you put the peanut butter with the hemp and the granola, bananas and all that in there, it's like, wow, this is a filling meal. Like, yeah. Not only do I think, you know, am I getting healthier options as opposed to a bunch of just processed sugar, but, you know, I actually am feeding my body after a good long workout here. This is before adding any protein powder.
Yeah.
How'd you come up with some of these names, like These Nuts, Original Gangster?
Sure. All of the names really do have a lot of meaning. Just starting off with the Original Gangster, I think one of the things was like growing up in the Bay Area, like we would call each other an OG. Hey, he's an OG, whether, you know, like, I don't know, I wrestled. So I'd say like, this guy's an OG wrestler. Yeah. You know, this guy's an OG, you know, senior on our team who's like state champ or something. Like he's an OG, OG, you know, and it was kind of like a term we would use, right? And
was that the first bowl you guys made? This is our original project.
Yeah, and like, you know, as we did the first, we knew we couldn't just have one bowl. We needed to have like, let's say a few to have some flavor profiles and different offering. And so we thought like the OG would be the quintessential acai bowl, right? The kind of classic with the strawberry and the blueberry and the honey. And then we came up with the green Goliath, which, you know, the idea behind that was like, you know, a micronutrient dense kind of green, more earthy bowl, right? Let's throw some greens in there. Let's throw some hemp protein powder. So that was that. And then the These Nuts bowl was like, all right, now we have to do something kind of heavy, rich, indulgent, you know, packed with, you know, again, the peanut butter. Then, you know, and all of them have a lot of like, the green Goliath has Himalayan goji berries. You know, the These Nuts has like bee pollen, very expensive ingredients that are superfood ingredients. Like I tell people, go buy some goji berries in the store, go like make an acai bowl. And they're like, you know, shoot, Rez, I went and made it. It's like, it cost me like $9 to make it at home. I'm like, cool. Well, now imagine all the other stuff I have to pay for and I'm charging you, you know, $13-14. And when we started, it was, you know, $10. Yeah. But
inflation's real, people. They're businesses. Dude, you got to do what you got to do.
100%. These Nuts, it's funny because everyone's like, oh, you mean These Nuts?
So, you know, yeah.
Yeah. So people, everybody, it's funny because the coolest thing about that was that we had like 25 different ingredients on the table and we kept throwing ingredients in and taking a bite, right? Macadamia nuts, I don't know. Cashew nuts, I don't know. Walnuts, okay, that's not great. And we kept trying little bites with different flavor profiles. And I was like, I remember there was a bunch of ingredients we hadn't used yet. And I looked over to my business partner, was like, have we used these nuts yet? And he's like, what? And I'm like, have we used these nuts yet? And I was like, oh shit, these nuts. And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, let's call it These Nuts. He's like, oh my God. And you know, there's a moment there where we're like, oh my God, the parents aren't going to like it. It's going to be too much. It's going to be like, you know, they're going to be offended. What if like, you know, it's, and so it's literally not These Nuts. It's, did we use these nuts yet? Like these ingredients, but it was also like a super cool play on the whole thing. And it went really well. Like, I got to say, like, you know, no one was ever really offended. Like everyone thought it was fun. They thought it was kind of cool. You know, we have a smoothie called the Beast Mode, you know, and it was like, we dropped it a decade ago when Marshawn was like, you know, huge. So it was like, everyone's like, oh, Beast Mode, Marshawn, you know, well, like
off of Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah. You know, the names are important to us. That's kind of, that's the stuff that makes this thing super fun, man. Yeah. Like, you know,
I'd always imagine some teenage guy coming into your shop, be like, hey, and then he starts grabbing him. He's like, do you guys give me one of these? Like, just thinking that he's funny. I'm like, you probably got stories like that. Kid comes in and does some,
and they're like, hey, these nuts. And they're like laughing. Like, trust me. Like, yeah, we've seen it all.
What I've really seen about it is, even though you could just focus on more of the higher income, you could just focus on tech, you could focus on the Warriors, you could focus on the bigger areas in San Francisco, but you spend a lot of time going out into the East Bay or the North Bay, the areas that maybe where people can't get this kind of food because all the bigger names go to where all the money's at. But you guys, because you have the amount of volume that you have with trucks and then the abilities with your cafes here, you're able to go out to the outside areas that don't get this kind of attention a lot. So, and I see it in the quality of the pictures that you guys have where you're wearing the shirts like representing the East Bay and bringing families together who, you know, would never drive to San Francisco to go for a food truck. And so it's really good that you've used that, your motto, your mission statement, to help bring the community together and also provide healthy food options.
Thank you.
And that's really awesome, man.
Thank you.
Now talk about the quality of ingredients. How much effort, because I'm sure there is,
yeah,
do you guys put in sourcing all these ingredients? Because you do have also one why am I losing right now? Fish. What is it?
The Pokeball.
Pokeball, yes.
Yeah.
And that's amazing. So if anybody ever gets out to Bol de Sai, yes, they do have a Pokeball. And when you eat that fish, it's not like something that you get at the local sushi place. Like, this is higher quality stuff on par with something that you get at a more higher end restaurant. So talk about how you finding these ingredients and how you're able to make the business work, knowing that you're paying a little bit more for higher quality.
Sure. I think that was just something from the very beginning that we were going to do, right? We were like, quality matters. And for a bunch of reasons, I think qualities always matter to me. Like, you know, growing up, if I bought a piece of clothing, I would always want to buy something nice, like a good quality that's going to last. And so, just applying that to food. So when we started, and you know, my wife is very big on quality food, right? Like just in general, like farm eggs, grass-fed meat, you know, quality this, quality that. And so is my business partner and his wife and you know, kids and family and all of that. So when we started, we just applied that. We would go to Berkeley Bowl West. We became really good friends with Raymundo. Raymundo was the wholesale guy. And so we would get produce from Berkeley Bowl West. It was close to our commissary kitchen. And I mean, you can taste the difference. Like, it's just like everyone was like, dude, like your strawberries, like, dude, what's up with your blueberries? You know, this and that. So we just applied that to like everything. And it was just a matter of, what's the saying? Taste the soup. Like, you know, the chef that like tastes the food in his restaurant, like make sure you're doing it often. It's like, so my workers know as soon as I come into the cafe, I'm already like, it's like a scanning, like I'm scanning this. I'll taste a little bit of this. I'll try, you know, throw a piece of the fruit in my mouth, see if it's fresh, see if it's sweet enough, et cetera. Working with your vendors, I'm not afraid to like turn and say, hey, we got to send these 10 cases back, dude. It's just not right. And they're like, no, I know. I know how you guys are. You care. Don't worry about it. We'll make it right. With the poke, the same thing. You know, we tasted a lot of different ahi tuna from a lot of different vendors. And obviously, we kind of narrowed it down. You know, we were thinking of doing salmon. It was a little too fishy for me. I thought ahi's like more universal. But like everything else we do, we're like, how do we, you know, how do we take this smoothie and really make it healthy, right? Like, it's like we went to every juice bar. We're like, how, dude, this tastes pretty bomb from Jamba Juice, but it's sugar. Like, and I say bomb, like tastes good, but you're like, you know, this is absolute shit, you know? So when we would go to a couple, and there really wasn't a lot of poke places, we just tasted as many as we could. And we found a vendor. We work with Vince's Shellfish here. They're like an old school, like Italian San Francisco fishmonger family. They've been doing it for a really long time. So I'm giving away my trade secrets now, but like that, you know, we started working with them, good quality stuff. And then just a bunch of other stuff, right? Like we don't use sushi rice. Sushi rice has sugar in it most of the time. So we use only brown rice cooked with coconut oil, which, actually is a really healthy way to cook rice. I could totally go down the rabbit hole about that, but like adding coconut oil to your rice is a really good thing to do. Sea salt, some green onion, some Pacific spices, keep it super simple. I mean, it's kind of like bodybuilder food, you know, with a little bit of extra zhuzh, you know, add the orange zest, a little bit of fresh squeezed orange on it for that citrus profile. But in reality, it's spinach, brown rice, and ahi. There's no mayonnaise. There's not four scoops of mayonnaise in there making it a, you know, a mayo tuna kind of. A lot of those places, like now when I go, I'm like, dude, shredded carrot and corn in my poke. I just want the fish. I just want the, you know, like lean protein, complex carb, and some veggie. Like, that's it, dude, you know?
Well, the thing about eating that bowl at your place is it reminds me of Hawaii. It's, you go there, like, this is poke at its finest. I mean, I can go into a supermarket, a random little hole in the wall in North Shore, Hawaii, and I'm getting like high quality sashimi styles, you know, poke. Like, this is, you can never get this at a chain place. They just, they just can't source that much of the ingredient. And to have that same thing in your bowl too. And you're right. I eat yours. I get the brown rice and then I got the spinach.
Yeah.
It's a, But because you're eating it with that high quality fish, mm-hmm. it's that, all right, I'm getting high quality fish, but I'm also getting this nutritious bowl that I'm eating with it.
Yeah.
So I don't want to go to a place where I'm getting like the, you know, what do you call it? The imitation crab mixed
sure,
in there
sure.
and the sea kelp. Mm-hmm. Some of that stuff is really good. Like you said, it's really good, but do mm-hmm. I want to add the ponzu sauce and then the sweet shoyu and all that stuff?
Sure.
Yours is very simple, which makes it very exciting when every time I go and eat that. So if you haven't tried the first place, you got to try
thanks,
that
man.
One out. So now with that part there, I think that statement you made about how you source ingredients is really important because, I mean, you're in business. You understand this. You could get cheaper strawberries that maybe aren't necessarily organic. I'm not sure if you use organic or not, but yeah. if you don't, mm-hmm. You can get the ones that aren't quite ripe yet.
Sure.
But if you mix them in the smoothie, some people would never tell. They can taste a strawberry.
Yeah.
But you as a business owner know that, okay, this is not the best type of strawberry that I'm putting in my product, but it's cheaper, so my margins are up. But you don't do that. You look for the best ingredients and you say, and you have the courage to be able to tell your vendors, I get that this is still what I ordered, but this batch is not what I want. I need you to take this back and give me a new one because I have a reputation, I have standards, and I want my customers to also see that every time that they come here, they don't get that one smoothie where like doesn't taste right. Like, no, I want consistency. And if it means I pay a little bit more, I will. And that speaks a lot to your integrity and the business model. And these are little things that people think about when they come back. They might not be able to put their finger on it. Like, I don't know why I'm going out of my way if I'm somebody else to go to your shop, but something about the ingredients and how it tastes and how friendly the employees are, it all comes together to make that business model, which is why I think you guys are so successful and why you keep on building because there's a demand for that type of integrity and quality. So kudos to you on that one.
Thank you, man.
Now, one thing I wanted to get into, because I think this is very big, and we talked a little bit about it earlier, is that you and your business partner started this over 10 years ago, but 11, 12 years ago, probably when you first had the idea.
It'll be exactly 10 years this August. So
wow.
we're going to hit a decade.
That's like, awesome, man. So this has been something that, and I've seen it in my own network with people who are starting their own businesses, is that usually when you go into business, the last person you want to do with is somebody who you're really close to, because when you have that close of a friendship, it can easily show up in business where you don't want to say something because you guys are friends, but then the business might be suffering. But you guys have taken that and have bucked the trend. I mean, you guys are friends, but you have the courage to tell each other, hey, we may be friends, but if we don't do this, the business will suffer. Or maybe I want to do this, but you don't. Let's sit here and talk about it. So how do you guys get through that without affecting the friendship? And what are some of the lessons that you can teach people about, hey, if you're going to get into business with somebody who might be a good friend, you might have a great idea, be prepared to have these type of hard conversations when it comes to money and business.
Look, a business partnership is not easy. It's absolutely like a marriage, right? So I've been with my wife for 19 years. We've been married for, I don't know, 15 years, I think. It's not all peaches and cream, man. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you. It's not all peaches and cream. But what I can say is it's like a marriage. And so for me, the way marriage works is I'm not going to quit at my marriage. It's just not an option. We're going to work on it. We're going to figure it out. We're going to do whatever we need and whatever it takes to make it through and accomplish whatever goals and deal with whatever adversity we have in front of us. And so going into business with a friend is really not easy. I think what has served us really well is we're both very different. We are absolutely like different. I'm kind of very like type A forward. I tend to see everything like to a fault. And you know, he is a lot more easygoing about things, and bringing that sense of calm in is very helpful at times to say, hey, listen, we're going to be okay. I understand this has happened, but it's like, you know, so that yin and yang, right? Where, you know, I'm like, go, 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 you know, and he's like, okay, cool. Like I support this. It's a good balance. And that's not to say, dude, we haven't gotten our teeth kicked in business, and we've just gotten, you know, you fucking name it, man. Trucks towed, employees not showing up, calling out, no call, no show. You know, we show up and like we're missing all of this stuff. The tank of water doesn't work. Health inspector shows up and that we can't get the generator on. We have, you know, $10,000 worth of product ready for a 2-day Union Street Fest. Like, you name it, we've been through it, right? The other thing is this, the grit. I think, like, if I can leave anyone with, like, one thing, the relentlessness of not giving up. And I mean, that's really just like, apply that to anything, man. Apply it to jujitsu, apply it to marriage, apply it to health, apply it to, it's just like, cool, you didn't eat healthy for 4 days, just get back on it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Man, I'm feeling, you know, I blew out my shoulder. It's okay. Start doing little things again. It's going to compound. Oh man, we didn't make it to that. We lost 20,000 this weekend because of the festival that we, you're going to give up?
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do? Well, we lost the money. We lost the thing. The employees didn't come. That, oh my God. Like, really stuff that could like make you throw in the towel. Like, dude, this just isn't worth it. This is so much work to work for ourselves, to put in all this work when I was making a huge paycheck somewhere else where like you turn off the lights, you deal with PG&E, you know. So the grit. The grit and partnership is super important, that the both of you have that. And if the both of you have that kind of relentlessness, you're not going to throw in the towel no matter what.
So do you guys split the duties? Like, I'm the CEO, you're the CFO, you're more ops because you're better at that, you're more the face, you're doing at this. Because I know some people are going to want to start businesses to get together. We two people may come together and say, we have this idea, we want to build this shop, whatever it is.
I think... yeah, of course. You definitely want to have, each person should have their strengths. We do different things, you know? I mean, he's definitely more day to day. I'm more, you know, build the new truck, fabricate it. What is the workflow going to be inside of it? Okay, come up with the new menu item, you know, calling him at 4 a.m. when I'm in Kauai saying, hey, listen, let's add poke to the menu. And he's like, what? What do you mean? I'm like, I have a crazy idea. Let's add poke. Because when we started, we didn't have poke for 2 years. It was an item we added after a couple of years. And I just thought it would be cohesive. Because while I was in Kauai, I realized one of the places was serving acai and poke. And it was a perfect fit. I'm like, this is actually like not too crazy. It's not like all of a sudden we're selling fried chicken. You know what I mean? And acai. So scale, what's next, trying to see around corners, kind of my role. Right, day to day, inventory control, quality control, his role. But then we also come together on a lot, you know. We talk, dude.
Well, how do you guys
20 times a day?
Well, so how do you guys get through the occasional disagreement? Because it's going to happen in business. You'll both hit a point where this is something that needs to get done. Yeah. You have your way, he has his way, because you both see different sides of it. So how does that communication work where you say, all right, let's talk about this part of the business. We may not see eye to eye, but where's our compromise versus, nope, it's my way. And if you don't like it, whatever.
You know, first and foremost, we're both not soft. Like, we're real, you know, he comes from like OG Mexican family. I come from like a pretty like Iranian, like a hard disciplinarian childhood. You know, mom, I wrestled competitively. My mom is like a very serious woman. My mom is a disciplinarian, you know, sit down, ask to get up from your dinner table, use your utensils right, you know, manners, you know, you stand up when an elder walks in the room. And so he has that too. So I think the thing about us is like, we're just not so, like, we can argue and get into a really big fight and we'll both show back up at the morning at 6 a.m., walk into our kitchen and be like, what's up, dude? Hey, my bad. It's like, yeah, no, I get it. Don't even worry about it. Let's keep going. Let's keep banging. And we just don't let it, like, you know, we argue, but it's not like, I'm never talking to you again, you know? It's just, that's the thing, is like, we have that in common. And I think that's a rare thing now. I mean, that's why, like,
super rare today.
It's super rare, man. I mean, people are, they're sensitive. And I like, sometimes I'm like, I don't know. Like, I don't think that it's serving people that well to have skin that thin, you know? I feel as though it's been a huge advantage in my life. And I'm not talking about like, don't have feelings, don't be authentic to yourself, but like the throw the baby in the bathwater out as soon as you hit a little bit of bumpy road, right? This relationship isn't going to work. No, my partnership isn't going to work. Oh, this girl isn't good enough. And it's like, dude.
I know. I mean, I see it so often, man. People get, I get where this comes from is you have your beliefs and it's, you know, you're used to it. So you think it's the right way, but then not realizing somebody else can see it from a totally different angle. And when we get locked into it's our way, and if you think something else you're wrong, then people take it personal versus I may see it my way based on my experiences and my own view of life, but I respect that you see this something, you see it a different way. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about it. We may not agree at the end of the day, but at least I can see that you see this point from a different side, almost like two sides of a coin. If I had a quarter here, I only see heads and you only see tails, mm-hmm. not realizing that we flip it around. Oh, that's what you see. It's yeah. the same quarter, but we got to realize, you know, you just see it a different way. But yeah. honestly, by you seeing a different way, it helps me think about the bigger picture.
Absolutely.
But yeah, so many people get caught up into it has to be done my way. And if it's not my way, then everybody else is wrong. Happens in politics. It happens in business. Sure. I mean, it's wherever that came from, social media. I don't know.
That the rigidity doesn't serve much. There are things that we, you know, and the whole agree to disagree, you know, usually we talk it out. Sometimes it's heated. But you know, like I said, we come back and realize like, dude, the nucleus of this thing is if it serves everyone, like the actual business, everyone, the employees, the ship is going to be better off, right? And more sound and like the head and the body, like everything's going to be healthier, then cool. Let's get it. This makes sense. Like, why not? Why aren't we doing this?
Right.
Let's put in a better cleaning strategy and a standard of operation. Let's get this and let's do that. So yeah, man. Business partnership is not easy just in general. I don't care what it is. And I don't care if you could go to anyone. I'm sure whether you want to talk, you know, multi-billion dollar company to, you know, Susie's Bagels with two sisters running it, you know, or Beth, it's just not easy, you know, yeah. But.
Yeah. People think it's easy to own a business because they might see the end product. Okay. This person looks like they're living a good lifestyle and they have a business. Clearly it must all be going well. It should be pretty easy, right? Not knowing behind the scenes. You're right. Something's going to break. You get that call in the middle of the night. You have to respond. Yeah. If your person doesn't show up for work, the store's still open. Well, guess I'm driving in to, you know, man the cash register and make the smoothies because I have nobody there. If no one's there, the business doesn't run. So yes, things can come up and some people have to realize that no matter what business it is, even an online business, you know, there's going to be things that you have to be prepared for. You don't really get a full vacation or a full weekend off. You always got to be ready for that. Now, with that, I like to transition to one other thing that we talked about. So part of being a business owner means you got to dedicate a lot of time. And this is not a 40-hour week job. This is 60, 80, 100-hour weeks where you're always on point with this because that's what you need to do to be a successful business owner. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, if you don't put the time in, you know, it may make it by, but it's never going to be all it can be.
Yeah.
So with that, there's not a lot of time in your day for many other things. One of that being in your relationships. Now, you're married with how many kids?
We have two kids.
Two kids.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. So how do you guys find the time, especially because you and your wife have been together long before this business was ever a thing.
Yeah.
So she may have met somebody that thought, hey, we're going to go down life this way. And then now we're going down the path of entrepreneurship. And while there's definitely support there, you know, there's not a lot of time for you guys to maybe enjoy life together. Maybe you thought you were. How have you guys worked through that?
I've been very fortunate that I've had a very supportive wife in this, in this like particular endeavor and situation in my life. Like she was very vocal. Like, I got your back, go do this. I know you're going to do it right. Because she knows, I think she knows me and she knows like, I don't really half-ass things. I don't really quit. I don't give up. And so she knows like, I'm going to do it right. So she wouldn't say like, go do this thing. Cause she knows like, I'm going to get after it. In regards to time and balance, there was no time, there was no balance early on, right? Mm-hmm. And I will tell you that that is what it's going to require, right? If you want to absolutely build one of the most ridiculous podcasts, I'm sure you're going to have to start going deeper and deeper and deeper and doing more and more. And so that hike you were going to take might not happen. And that other, you know, so, but it comes back, right? And like, you start figuring out other things. And like, I remember, you know, this isn't forever, but I started really training in the mornings, like really early, right? 5 a.m. training, sometimes 4:30. And like, I was like, dude, I'm getting this thing accomplished that I thought there wasn't time for, but now there's time for it. And then, and another thing and another thing. And I also think the excitement of doing this thing after we had already been together for a long time. And she was like, go and like be an entrepreneur. Like, the excitement of that was enough too. Like we still were seeing each other every day. You know, some weeks were obviously 80, 100, like next level in the beginning, the first year. But we were also fortunate, like, you know, about a year later of like starting, we were parking a truck in Mint Plaza and we had architected a business model where the truck was open from 8 a.m. until 2, breakfast and lunch, and it was doing serious numbers. So we were back at home by 4 or 5, you know what I mean, after the breakdown and stuff. And again, a lot of days we're not home at that time, but initially no balance. And you got to know, I mean, you know, Dick Goggins is like, you know, when people are like, balance, if you want to, you know, there's not going to be balance if you want to be, you know, world champion, you know, gold medalist wrestler. You're going to have to be in on the mat like all the time. And then, you know, you'll accomplish goals. And I think balance will come. So I'm very fortunate. She's been very supportive and very instrumental in all of this. She's very opinionated. Like, this tastes like this. You got to get rid of this. I went in today. The bone broth was a little less spicy. You got to put a little more lime or a little more lemon in it. And so she lets you know, like, she doesn't sugarcoat anything. She lets me know if something doesn't taste right, if we need to improve. And I appreciate that. She keeps me on my toes, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah. She runs a tight ship.
That's great. So I've asked a couple of entrepreneurs this, or have businesses where literally it's, I got to go get it all the time. I'm doing 60, 80 hours a week.
Yeah.
A couple of them have had young kids, and this is always a very, it's a tough one to find. How do you do this? Because the one thing you can never get back, you can get, make money all day, but you can never get back time.
Yeah.
Especially with young kids. Cause when they're young, that's the time when you're going to spend the most with them. And of course, as they get older, then they go out of the house and you spend less time with them. So this is really the time where most people want to spend with their young kids. At the same time, you're building a business to provide for the family. How do you personally find that balance where it's like, I know I'm spending enough time with my kids, or I need to do this to do more with them, so I don't miss out on that quality time that I could never get back? It's a little, it's a deeper question, but it's one of those ones that a lot of people struggle with, because it's like, I got to do this, but I don't want to give up on this. So what do I do?
Yeah. We have created a really cool lifestyle brand. I have to say, like, what we have is, it's taken a while to learn. Like, I don't think the first 5 years realized what it was that I wanted. You know, the first 5 or 6 years, it was just, we have to scale. We're in downtown San Francisco. Everyone's in tech. You got to build a company. You need to exit. You need to sell it for this. You need to like do a consumer package good. How are you going to exit? And it's like, after a while, I realized when I would talk to certain people that they weren't that happy after they made a bunch of money in a company and left because they had no purpose. It started to shift to, how can I make this a really cool place I like to go to that serves my life? What are the things I like to do? I like to train and be healthy. I want to own my own time. And I've waited a really long time to have kids. We traveled the world. We did a bunch of stuff. And now we have kids. So I'm not going to miss that precious time. So number one, after 18 years of working and us building a life together, my wife and I, and, you know, buying a home and remodeling it, selling that home, buying another home, doing that, and buying a, you know, making moves together and doing it all. Like when we had kids, I'm like, okay, you know what? Why don't you leave your job now? Why don't you be home with the kids? Obviously it's going to be, you know, and she made a good amount of money. So it was like a tough, you know, thing to lose. But so she's there. And then with me, again, we have a manager in place. We have, you know, there's like three heads to the business. There's the commissary side, which is the commercial kitchen with the food trucks that all go out and do catering and essentially that. And then we have one location in the financial district. And then we have one location in Russian Hill. So they're all kind of separate and pretty self-sufficient. They don't necessarily need us to be there a whole lot. And so we've gotten there. So when you say, how do you do that? Like, we've worked to get here. We've really built it to be like, you don't need, and again, like, how successful is a business if the owner needs to be there all the time? You've just created a job. You haven't created a brand and a company with systems and processes. Now, again, I'm not talking about 50,000 locations. And I mean, hey, you can also do that too. That, why do you think an In-N-Out model works so well? They have created such beautiful systems.
And they've created such a beautiful system that the machine now runs itself. It's so big that now it's going on its own momentum.
Correct. And here's the, you know, like you said, obviously you can't leave that for too long, right? Ownership needs to come in. Mm. Ownership needs to walk through. You know, if I come to the cafe twice a week, that's enough, right? So it's enough for me to look, see, touch, you know, and then be in direct communication with my management all the time. We talk, they write me end of the day reports. They tell me if any equipment needs servicing, how the product is, et cetera, et cetera. So it has become fairly autonomous. Mm-hmm. So that's why, how am I keeping the balance? I mean, dude, if I was at any other job, like I'm able to be with my, I'm not missing a beat. Mm-hmm. My, you know, my business partner's got, his son is like a phenom soccer player. He's like, I don't know, like 9 years old, I think, but he's with him all the time, just training, relentless training with him, dude. And it's like, he has that time, you know, he's like, cool. Cafe life is done. It's three. I'm going to soccer. I mean, I think he plays soccer with him like 6 days a week, dude. And wow. They're at tournaments every weekend. And that's like, you know, so, I'm super appreciative of what this company has provided us too. It's provided us a lot of freedom, you know?
Well, what I will tell you, what I've taken away from this part of the conversation is you spent the time that it took to build the business, got it to a point where now it's starting to go a little bit on its own where I can take a step back, and now you bring kids into it. You have the machine running in the way it needs to be, but you can also spend time at home. Would this have changed if either you had the kids before you started the business or right in the beginning when it was, I'm never home? Do you see that as being a factor if the roles were switched? Because then you're thinking about, and this is just the reality, is when you get to our age, especially for women, you know, there's only a certain amount of time left before they can really safely, you know, have a child. Because as we get older, it's just biology. That's not any... No misogyny right there. It just is what it is. So usually you're under that pressure to say, we need to do this by a certain time. But at the same time for us, it's like, that's also the time when I need to go out there and build. I need to go invest in this business. So you're playing with that. How did you guys, well, A, could you even have done it back then? And B, what was the conversations that you and your wife had about, okay, we're thinking about kids, but let's push this out a little bit so I can build this?
You know, we were not talking about kids when I started the business, even though I was like, I always wanted kids. And my wife was like, okay, like we've been doing this for 10 years. She was like, I don't know, 26, 27 years old, something like that. I think we really did it at a good time. Now, my business partner had had his first right when we were starting. So I'm sure that played a role in for him. However, I also think we were, you know, we built this thing pretty well that as I look, I'm like, okay, cool. By the time his son was 4 or 5, he was so immersed in soccer that he was getting that time, right? And then you look at other models, right? I mean, sorry, you look at other things like where I'm like, okay, my other friend who works in tech is at the office like 11 hours a day. They don't want him to leave. He's just in there programming and et cetera, et cetera. And my other friend who's, you know, in commercial real estate, he's just always like, you know, et cetera. And then, you know, what I, law enforcement, right? Like, I'm sure it's not like, you know, hey, you work 3 hours a day only. No, you go and you gotta put in your time. So everyone's got to work with kind of what they have. It shouldn't stop you from having a family. In our situation, I feel like we hit it at a good time. We waited. And we also, like, everyone's like, oh, you can't plan. I don't believe that. I think you can plan. Everybody's, I think you totally can.
Everybody's got their opinion about that. It ultimately comes down to what works best for you and your own specific family.
Yeah. I mean, for us, we were like, okay, cool. You know, let's have kids before, you know, obviously health-wise too, but, you know, we had them. I mean, we could probably have another kid right now and still be okay, but I wouldn't change anything, man. I think the timing of everything has been really good. Yeah.
That's awesome, man.
Thank you.
So here's a good one for you.
Sure.
Everything now, if someone's hearing this, they're like, dude, this guy, man, he's got his business going. He went through the struggles of the business. He's got a good, great family, wife, kids. You know, he's doing a lot of great things. But what are some of the, depends on how really you want to get with this. Sure. What are some of the struggles that people don't see behind the scene? Like, yeah, you may see, you know, this is what I have, but here's what I have to work through that maybe people who don't have a business have to work through, or here's some other things that, you know, I have to focus on.
I mean, look, like, if everything I just said before sounded like, oh my God, everything is so amazing and just like, you know, rainbows and you know, daisies, it's not. It's a tremendous amount of worry. A tremendous amount of stress. That's who I am, though, because I care. Those things have, I think, added to the company doing well. I think because I care, because I stress, because I worry, and like both of us, even my part, like because we're like, we're going to show up every day. We're going to do the right thing. So, you know, what are the things that I'm dealing with that other people wouldn't, that don't have a company to run? Everything. You know, employee management, talking to employees, personalities. I mean, that alone, that just anybody was to say, what is your least favorite thing about being an entrepreneur? Managing people. And don't get me wrong. I feel like I'm decently good at managing people. It's just, that is my least favorite thing for sure. If somebody was to tell me, hey, when you start this thing and in this many years, you're going to have 10, 12, whatever, 15 people looking at you and they need answers and you to lead, but also going back and saying, hey, listen, like, you know, here's the phone policy. I need you to do this. You forgot to do that. Clock. Hey, could you show, I mean, there's a lot, right? And so it's a lot. Yeah. I mean, like my other job before, I made really good money and I had nobody to worry about except myself. Mm-hmm. That was it. See you later. Oh, you guys have to take out another loan? Doesn't affect me. Oh, you guys are in the red this month? Doesn't affect me. I mean, obviously it could, you know, lay you off later, but that never happened. But it's like, so it's different, right? But that's not to say don't go after, you know, an amazing idea you have, or because you're basing it around, oh, am I going to be stressed and work? Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, but you're right. These are the things you have to be you have to be aware of. You get a call that, hey, not only did somebody not show up at location A, but also location B, his car broke down and he can't make it in today. Like, great. I got two locations that are open right now and there's nobody to man them. How am I going to figure this out? Well, I had plans to go take the kids over here and spend lunch with my wife. Those are out the window now. I got to go here. I got to call some, maybe my partner to go over there and take care of that one. It's the stress that, you know, nothing's ever going to be okay. Nothing's happening bad today. There could always be something wrong. Sure. You got to be ready for it.
Sure.
That's a big one. And with that, with managing people, I can tell you right now, that has always been the most difficult part for me whenever I was in a managerial spot, is different personalities. And now we're in a day and age today where the perception is young people, at least, don't want to work. How hard has it been for you to find good people who just want to come in and make a living, do the job, and not cause you any real problems? How hard has that been?
We've been very fortunate on one side of the business, the food production side and the kind of behind the scenes side of food prep, our kitchen staff, our first employee, our second employee that started with us are still with us. The third and fourth employee that were with us saved up enough after almost 7 or 8 years with us and bought a home back in the Yucatan and were able to like leave. And I, you know, I remember like our last like dinner I had with them. He was like, dude, like your job gave me the ability to send money home for this last 7, 8 years to build a house for my family. Which is like, that will never, that, and it's like, it's just such a cool thing, right? That ripple effect of like, we created this, this company's making, is like putting a lot of bread on the table for a bunch of people, right? And so that's huge. Okay, front of the house, cashiers, drivers, a different story. So people come, people go. I still feel like we've been fortunate in that sense as well. You know, we have dealt with, a bunch of that, you know, kind of, and I think the Bay Area is definitely, it's like way more magnified here. It's really expensive. It's hard to live here. You're dealing with a bunch of other stuff. Oh, my car got broken into this. I have to commute all the way from here to get to this job just to make this. But I think we've been pretty fortunate in that sense too. We have had our fair share.
Going back to earlier about you balancing everything, if anybody's watching this podcast now and you see Ray, like the guy takes care of himself. So he's in the gym, he's a big jiu-jitsu guy. And we talked briefly earlier about how do you balance everything and, you know, trying to balance business, the wife and kids, and finding time to get to the gym. That's usually the first thing that people say, well, guess I'm not going to the gym today. I got too many other things going on, but you found a way to do it. What's been your secret to do it while still getting enough sleep, or do you even get enough sleep? Is that where the compromise has been?
Sure. So training and fitness has been a huge part of my life. I grew up wrestling competitively. That kind of gave me a big plot, and swimming competitively. That's given me a really solid foundation for athletics just being something that's like always like on, just there in my life, like never leaving. It's like, you know, it's not like, oh, you're doing this. It's like, no, I just have to do it. I can't go too long without doing it. Now, I have to say I've had periods of, you know, 2-3 months falling off, not being, you know, as like hardcore about it. And, you know, obviously, it was really good until my second kid. And so right now is kind of, I'm making my comeback again, but I've been a little less active. I mean, I still have been getting it in, but you know, I'm comparing it to being really, really active. Again, finding time, carving it out. You know, you say big jiu-jitsu guy, like, you know, I love jiu-jitsu. I would definitely not say I'm super active in jiu-jitsu by any means, but you know, when I have gone in, it's been something that just feels to me, really comfortable because being a wrestler, you know, and so just having, you know, grappling doesn't feel foreign. It feels very comfortable for me. But training, you know, endorphins, breathing hard, this, that, how do I find the balance? Get up early. You want to find the balance? Wake up earlier than everybody else in your family, get it out of the way, be there for breakfast with the kids. That's it, dude. Like, oh, you know, hey, my girl wants to spend time with me. She wakes up at 7. Cool. You wake up at 5. You know, oh, you don't have a lot of time. Do, you know, 8 rounds on the assault bike until you're breathing, you know, breathing blood. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, do a bunch of burpees and push-ups and pull-ups and this and just get it in 30 minutes and see what 30 minutes does. 5 days a week when you're 3 months in, you're going to feel like a savage, you know?
What I respect about that is that despite everything that you got going on in your life, and you got a lot, I haven't heard anything about making an excuse. This is why I can't do it, because see, I got to focus on A, B, and C.
Yeah.
That sentiment is profound, more so now than it was when I was a kid. And I don't know if it was necessarily because of upbringings, maybe for me and you were different, although I think you had a much more stricter upbringing than I did. Still, I've never been that person to point the finger and say, it's because of that I can't do this, or because of this that I got screwed because somebody else did this better than me, or it was all rigged. I've never said that. But it's harder and harder to find people in the same mindset as us, where it's like, well, I got to do it. So if that means I wake up earlier, or that means that I spend less time with this person, or that means I spend more time with the business, I just got to do it because that's the goal.
Yeah.
Where do you think that came from for you? Was that just the upbringing? Was that, you know what, I was on my own at an earlier age and just had to figure it out, and this is what it took to get things done? Where did that come from for you?
No one's coming to save you. It's like, you know, like once you kind of realize that whatever excuse it is that you're saying, whatever you're announcing to the world, oh, I can't work out because it's just like, what is the purpose? Like, what is the purpose? And don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not over here saying, yeah, you know, like David Goggins level, like, you know. You know, beating people up for it. It's not that. It's just like, dude, it serves no purpose. It really, to me, serves no purpose. I've had some lower back stuff, right? And so I know if I go to everyone, hey, I'm not working my lower back, I just can't work out, and like that's all I say, it's gonna like feed, I'm gonna start being like, no, I can't do this. But instead it's like, I'm working through this. And I know what I need to do to rehab my body and strengthen my core and my posterior chain to like rehab, like get back to, et cetera. Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like cliche, like no excuses, work hard, you know, like, it's just like, I just don't understand. It's not going to serve you well. It's like, figure out how to get back on whatever it is and work towards that. You know, I know. And then the other thing is, I just think that energy isn't great. You know, being around people like that, being around people that have like a lot of excuses. Ooh, I'm like, dude, I don't want that really around my circle too much. You know, I have a couple friends. I have a good friend, and he's just like, you know, you call him and he'll kick your ass on the phone. You know, he's like, come on, man, what are you doing? Oh, you're not taking your supplements. Are you taking your greens and, you know, you doing this, and how's your lifting? And you're strong. And like, you're like, fuck. And I kind of love it, you know, cause he beats you up. He just get, you know, like he doesn't.
No, I get it,
man. You know,
and it's weird because throughout the course of my life, I've been the same thing. I've lost a lot of friends at one point. Not because of anything that anybody did, but it's more about that, like the mindset of, okay, you're still here,
yeah,
in the same place you were in high school or mm-hmm. early college level, and you haven't gone beyond it. Like, what's going on? And you'll hear them, and it's somebody else's fault. The government, this, they fired me for that. They, you know, yeah, my wife did this. It's like, it's always, I can't get here because of A, B, and C, because it's easier. It's easier for people to say why they can't get somewhere. Not my fault, somebody else's fault. And then as you get older, you realize in the world, there's a lot more people who unfortunately fall in that category than do in the other side. The ones who are getting stuff done like you, like they're quiet. They're like, you know what? I got no time to deal with all that BS. I got shit to do.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go out there and get it done.
Yeah.
And it's a role model, because I'm sure your kids, as they get older, they'll see that. They're like, okay, well, you know, daddy's just always working. He's getting things done. And that's all that they know. So great. I mean, however you consciously teach that to your kids is going to be phenomenal, because it's just, we need more people like that with that mindset, because it's just, it's, I don't know what else to say beyond that. It's difficult when you have to be aware of that now, mm-hmm. if you say something wrong, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings, when really it's like, hey, I'm just telling you how I see it. This is not a personal attack. This is just how I see it. And that's one of the premises of doing this, the show here. It's real talk.
Yeah.
It's getting people to come on here, be honest, because we're just trying to give good information for people to make better choices in their lives. You're not going to, no, nobody has all the right answers, but a little bit here, a little bit here, a little bit there, you can find out what your own path is and go with it. So that's just amazing, man. Well, this has been an awesome conversation, Reza. And one of the last things that I wanted to close off with this is, all right, so you also have, despite all this, or because of it, you've also decided to expand your entrepreneurship to a new endeavor.
Sure.
And you have the hat to prove it, Green Goliath Hall & Company. So yeah, Talk to me about what that is and how this came about.
Yeah, so completely separate business from Bold Acai. Totally different business, not a sexy business. bit of a boring business, but something that we, you know, looked at and thought there was some opportunity here. So having a commissary, having a few different spaces, we have had to have like junk hauling, and we've called junk haulers to come to our spaces and do a bunch of hauling. And so we've probably had like four or five companies come and clear out a bunch of stuff, you know, old kitchen equipment and you know, cafe chairs and et cetera. And every time it's been like really expensive, and every time they've really done it like very quickly with like a couple of people. And look, I mean, we've built six food trucks. We understand how to drive big food trucks around the Bay Area. We're sending food trucks to, let's say, Google, and they're showing up with tons of food that needs to be fresh and give customer service. And it's this forward-facing product, and there's a lot of moving parts. And, you know, when a lot of these haulers came to us, like, we're like, dude, the service is really crappy. And the guy showed up 30 minutes late. And, you know, like, I mean, just like lack of customer service, punctuality, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And also kind of being conscious of like what you're doing with the stuff that you're getting, right? Whether it's recycling and, you know, donating and getting things to the right areas. But we kind of went down the rabbit hole, and we're like, it's a very lucrative business. It's a service business, so it's different from our other business that requires a bunch of perishable goods, buying ahi tuna, forecasting, checking weather, how much tuna are we going to buy this week? What are we going to do with this? You know, 50 ingredients, et cetera. So we just built a super cool state-of-the-art junk truck, and we launched the company. It's called Green Goliath Hauling. Before I was telling you about one of our acai bowls, it's called the Green Goliath. Mm-hmm. So paying homage to that. It's a Lambo green, you know, Verde Mantis color, super bright. You can't miss it. It's like a crew cab, Isuzu, so it can seat up to like seven men, which we, you know, also looked at when some of these companies came and they had to like wait for another crew to arrive in another vehicle, which is like, to us, we kind of were like, how can we hack this? So we've started doing it, as well as, you know, we have a lot of employees that want and need to work two jobs in mm-hmm. order to survive here in the Bay Area. And seeing that, we're like, what if we create another company and can give you more work, and you trust us, you feel safe with us? Now, most of it are the men, you know, the husbands and the brothers of the women that work for us in the cafes. So we launched it. Green Goliath Hauling is about 2 or 3 months in, it's already doing really well. We've already got, you know, a bunch of really good reviews. Website's pretty cool. We've got a bunch of merchandise made, and we've gone on several really good hauls. I mean, some really big ones where we did a big cleanup for a developer who owns a restaurant. There was a bunch of illegal dumping where we did almost five different loads in the truck and needed a huge, we needed, you know, five, six guys. We've done some real estate cleanouts where the person, the tenant moved out, kind of just didn't want anything anymore. So we did that. And then we've done a bunch of other little micro pickups, and another one for a couple other friends that, like, again, spring cleaning. We understand the mobile platform business. So we kind of like we know how to schedule a truck to go out and coordinate, you know, Mike, we're going to come to your house at 10 o'clock tomorrow. We're going to show up. It's like, you know, the food truck had to be there at 10 and serve 200 guests at blah, blah, blah's, you know, birthday party or something. But yeah, it's the new venture.
That is awesome, man. If you ever see the truck, which, by the way, if you're watching the YouTube one, that's that picture that I'm going to put on the screen right now. It's an awesome truck. It's got the Spartan helmet thing, the bright green, because you can't miss it. I mean, you see that thing going down the street, like, what's that bright green thing? It draws your attention in. And I like what you were telling me earlier about the inspiration. Like, hey, this came up because I'm looking at how things are done in Europe and how emergency vehicles have went out. They're all painted
the color.
Exactly, the bright colors. So you can't miss them.
Yeah.
There might be a safety issue just because they need the ambulance is coming down the road. Mm-hmm. But either way, it's eye-catching when you see it. And you remember, like, what's that thing? And then you look at what it's for. Oh, it's a hauling company. Oh, maybe I'll keep that in the back of my mind when I need something, whatever. Yeah. And you guys have been open or been in business how long with this?
It's officially been open for a couple of months now. I mean, less than 2 months open. Just a couple months. I mean, it's cool having started another business, it's like how fast we're doing other things here, right? Whether it's website, building an Instagram following, creating content, reaching out, advertising. We've done that with the other business. So we kind of know, like, wow, pretty early on, we're getting a pretty decent following. People are reposting, they're sharing, people are reaching out. And again, just organically, people are hitting us up too, which, you know, the cool thing is with a food truck, it's like, hey, Mike, come and meet me on Saturday at the Danville Farmers Market to get my food. With this business, you're like, I need you guys here tomorrow. And it's like, yeah, I come to you anywhere, anytime. I don't need to be in a permit sanctioned place for a food truck. You don't need to meet me at a food truck park or a location. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
This is different. This is like, come out, take my stuff away. And it's really cool how happy people are when you do the work too. Like, they're so stoked. They're like, oh my God, our house is cleared out. I feel so good. You know, there's something about getting rid of your stuff that I think people are like, it's like a big weight off your chest, you know, when you clear out your home.
I believe it. And then you have this, from what you're telling me, because it's only been open for a couple of months. Yeah. The even though maybe bigger corporations could charge less because they just have so much more of a volume thing, whatever, sure, you have this tie to the community where you're employing people who work locally, who or who live locally, and there's sort of a bond that people see with you where, you know, maybe it's not the cheapest one on the market. If you want the cheapest thing, there's probably any business you get, there's always a cheaper version.
Yeah.
But the fact that you're doing this locally as a local business and you have a tie to the community, especially when they link up, oh, you're the same guy that has this business too. Wow, man, that's awesome. It makes people feel a little more comfortable where it's like, okay, at least I know that I get a vibe that I trust them more. Sure. So I know when they come into my house and they take care of or my business, they take care of all the things that they take care of. There's not going to be this, we're just a number.
Sure.
I mean, to the customer, it's like, they're going to take care of the surroundings of the house and not damage anything else. Mm-hmm. They're going to make sure it gets taken care of the right way, be cognizant of my neighbors or my other businesses around there. Like all those little things that you do that make you stand out above a competition that maybe has tens or hundreds of more trucks, but you know, you can get that sort of conglomerate feeling from them. And to some people that matters. Like they really just want to be able to support the local businesses. So was this something that you'd say was, nothing's ever easy, but because you had already started the first business, this one was easier to get off the ground based on your experience? You still had the growing pains of, it's something totally different. How do we work through this?
Yeah. Yes, easier. Just to kind of, you know, just to be, you know, to kind of shoot straight from the hip in regards to this. Yeah, it's easier. We've learned so much, man. I mean, I feel like I'm like an encyclopedia. Obviously, like, you know, I'm not like some waterfall financials guy that's like scaled a multi-million dollar company, but I do feel like I know how to create a brand. I understand what it is to understand the ethos of a brand, the story of a brand, and what it is you want to do. We've never wanted to be the cheapest of anything. The Bold Acai wasn't created for me to make the cheapest anything. It was never what I wanted to do. And neither with this, right? The idea was just like, do something right. Take care of people. Care. And I feel like because we've done that with one thing, we can apply it to this. And that's what we're doing, right? So it's the same thing. Like, the experience for the employee is that we are good human beings. We care about you. We're not going to take advantage of you. We're going to treat you fairly and appropriately, do good work. But we're not like, you know, we don't breathe down the necks of our employees. We treat them really well. They stay because the culture and the energy is really good, right? Like my intention isn't to be like, I don't want to be that owner that's like, I don't know, a scumbag, you know, in regards to the conglomerate thing. I mean, look, if I can create another company that's like, we've got 4-5 trucks in the Bay Area and I'm able to have another 12 families like surviving because we've created this cool thing. And these guys are happy that they have a good place to hang their hat and they make good money for their families. And again, they're happy. Like they're like, I like this place. I like my boss. He doesn't even say he's my boss. He's like, I'm like, dude, we're the same. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, you know, do that with a lot of our employees. I'm like, dude, don't call me jefe. Like, just do good work. I'll take care of you. You take care of me. They see I'm a family man. They have kids. But yeah, you do one, it makes the second one easier, especially if it's similar wheelhouse, right? Like, I'm not like, hey, let's create some, you know,
exactly.
I don't know, some biotech. Yeah, it's like, let's go create another truck and go kind of do this. So,
what, do you got a third idea on the horizon? Or it's like, let's make sure these two are doing good. Then we'll see what the future holds.
Are you asking me if I have one?
Yeah.
You know, I always have lots of ideas. I do. We have another idea. That's another food truck. That's another food concept.
Well, and I think,
so stay tuned for that one. But it's... you know, we don't want to bite off more than we can chew, but we do have an idea for another concept. I think, you know, we first need to appropriately get the symphony dialed in and things like going the right way so we can add other things.
Exactly. Well, Reza, this has been a great conversation, man. Thank you so much for coming out.
Thank
you. Learned a lot from you, and I'm hoping that the audience learned a lot of not just about business and your vision, but also just about how you find the balance. And ultimately, you know, the greatest country in the world. Yeah, we have our problems here. But if you want to make something of yourself here, you have the ability to do it. It's just a matter of, do you want to put the work in? Same thing with fitness. Do you want to put the work in the gym? If you can, great. You're going to be the best version of yourself. You want to put the best work, put all the work in your financial side to be able to be financially secure. Whatever that looks like for you, you can do it if you put the time and the effort in. Yeah. It's always available to you. So what is the best place that people can reach out to you in case they want to, you know, I'll put all the links down in the YouTube channel, but just so they know, what's your Instagram handle?
Yeah.
Is there a website? What do you got?
Let me give you all the plugs. Well, first, thank you so much, Mike. I appreciate you. Super cool setup you have here, man. This thing is legit. We have two cafes in San Francisco, 155 Montgomery Street in the Financial District. That cafe is open Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. until 3 p.m. We have 1958 Polk Street Cafe. That cafe is open 7 days a week from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. That's in on Polk and Pacific in Russian Hill. We have food trucks that you can see at the farmers markets locally, Walnut Creek, Danville, Arinda, and the Sunset Mercantile Farmers Market here in San Francisco. The handle is at bold, BOWLDACAI, boldacai.com. You know, same handle for Instagram. And then Green Goliath Hauling. You know, Green Goliath Hauling is the Instagram handle. Hit us up if you need a haul. The phone number is 415-770-7000. Super easy phone number to remember. You know, and that's for any type of hauling you need. But yeah, come check us out at one of our cafes. Hit us up at the farmers markets.
So what's the easiest way for people to find out where the food truck is today? Like, you know what? I want to know where he's at. What's the quickest way to find that one?
Check our website, boldacai.com. It's always, the calendar is always on there. Shows you where the trucks are going. For the most part, though, it's the schedules are pretty concrete. We do Arinda Farmers Market on Saturdays, Walnut Creek Farmers Market on Sundays, the Sunset Mercantile in San Francisco on Sundays. Very easy to find us there. We're always going to be at Arinda on Saturdays, always going to be at Walnut Creek on Sundays, always going to be at Sunset on Sundays as well. A couple trucks at the same time. So
that's
easy.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Good job, man. And by the way, if anybody who's listening to this, if you do reach out to Reza for Green Goliath Hauling or Bold Acai, make sure you let him know that you found him by the podcast. We really want to find out that, you know, you were able to make that connection with Reza, get to know his business. And it's always good to hear that somebody who comes in knows the whole story about why the business was actually started. So make sure you mention that you heard about this podcast and that's how you found Reza. And if you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, and share it with anybody that you believe would get good value from it, because that is how this message will spread. That is how the podcast will spread. And that's, more importantly, how we get these entrepreneurs out exposed into the world is by you sharing this video with anybody. If you're listening to this on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or any other podcast platform, please make sure to leave a comment. For podcasts, it's a little bit different. The best way that it gets promoted out there is by people who leave comments. So if you can do that, I really appreciate it. Thank you again, Reza, for coming out. Everybody have a good one. Take care.
Cheers.